Welcome, y'all, to Critical Clicks! Your own clicks and my greatness!
That there's nothing I can do to save you.
Your own clicks!
Give it up for Jaws' host,
PJ Bolan.
And Scott Cram Company Crampton!
Hey guys, this is PJ, the Kilted Clicksman Bolan, and here's my partner.
Hey, what the fuck? Who are you? What happened here? I didn't know. PJ, you're fucking here and
this doing a podcast. Audio recording.
Hey, since we're doing things out off kilter, hey, welcome to Critical Clicks, an adult podcast for the competitive Hero Clicks player. This is Lucas Van Allen here with PJ Bolan, and I guess Scott's here too. So let's get into the meta.
Hey, look at that. Look at that. How exciting. The dream is still alive that Scott could somehow not be on the podcast. And that's the dream of the listeners, just to be clear, not my personal dream. I'm not looking to be ousted for my own show, but I would understand if it happened because, you know, it would just make the show tolerable.
Yeah, I think tolerable is a great
tolerable,
word.
Yeah, more tolerable. Like, people would be like, oh, I don't hate this as much. I still hate it, not as much.
There's a lot less correcting going on.
Yeah, that's true. There's,
and then people don't have to wear sunglasses to listen to the show.
Yeah, that's fair. That's that's actually pretty funny. Hey, all right, guys. So you are here for our Adepticon preview. We're going to be talking about 300 Modern, which this is the last time we'll really talk about 300 Modern for a minute because The Rock is next, and that's in early May. Adepticon is next week, March. 2 weeks from now. Sorry, March 22nd or so. That's kind of what we're at, guys. Anything cool happened to you guys? PJ, why you've been gone for 20 years?
I work so much.
That was a less funny answer than I was hoping for.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I mean, no, I actually just got back from being in Bolivia for 8 months.
Yeah, we didn't think you'd be able to find your way back.
I was lost for quite a while.
Yeah, that's why me and Lucas chipped in.
And I'm here all the time because PJ works for me.
Right.
Yeah, that makes sense. And all right, guys, let's get into the meta.
He picked 8 winning cocks. It's never been done.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I break your concentration?
All right. So you guys submitted your teams. We'll talk about what our teams are. I actually just won the Rock Win-A-Map with a shattering record of bye and then 2 barely wins. Go me. But we have some people that turned in some general. Let's start with the Thunderbolts team, which is not something I would have presumed. But you know what? I love when I have to look up characters on a team. That's actually is not a complaint. It's a real thing. So his team, you know what, Lucas or PJ, you should read this because I can't read or write. So
yes, we knew that. So Thunderbolts, it's Ra's al Ghul, 80 points, the non-prime, Prime Talon, Deadshot with the shot gauntlets, Valentina Allegra de Fontaine from the new Disney Plus set, Verusa, for the new Disney Plus set, and then Scott Porter with the Sinestro Corps ring. Just Scrappy doing War Machine on the sideline. So the idea here is it's running Thunderbolts, but it's also keying off of Valentina's trait, where she turns, I think it's like spy and whatnot, into Thunderbolts. And so then she can utilize the assassin trait off of Ra's and Talon and Deadshot to get extra points while maintaining a theme team. It's pretty cookie cutter, pretty one dimensional, I'll say. It's the idea is range attack your assassin and kill it, or your target and kill it.
I think the big thing. I think the big thing here is when a friendly character with the assassin keyword attacks opposing characters with a target token, can't use defensive powers.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So that character is fucking dead.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Now, are you able to change the assassin thing with Roz or something?
Yes, assuming Roz doesn't just get obliterated first. Because Ra's al Ghul is an 80-point character with a dial of a 30-point character.
No, like probably like 32 points. I mean, 35.
18 defense that can be outwitted. Mastermind senses toughness and 6 clicks of life. He just dies. Always dies.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Is there anything on here that makes him so he can't be outwitted?
I don't know. You know, normally you'd expect Ra's al Ghul to have something like stealth. Nope. His only stealth click is on his last click.
What character is this? Verusa? Yeah, okay. At the beginning of the game, for all friendly characters with this trait, give a target token to an opposing character. Okay, shit. When a friendly character KOs a character with a target token, heal that friendly character 2 clicks, and they have mystics. If the KO thing has monster, 2 additional 15 points. Opposing characters in 3 squares can't use mastermind, shape change, or self.
So this is an anti-surfer team.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's really trying hard to be an anti-surfer team.
I play against a single surfer with it.
What's that?
You won't play against a single surfer if you play a team like that.
It's true. Yeah. Carnage Silver Surfer, the second most popular figure in Hero Clicks right now. And there's, yeah, you'll just play 4 rounds of never seen a single surfer.
Yeah. That is true. It'll
never happen. It also is anti-Kong for what it's worth. This team absolutely slaps Kong around.
That is very true. Yeah, no defensive powers from talent. I think, do you guys think Versua is a little too much? Like, should you just go with the other Porter?
And I mean, for a more well-rounded experience, probably. But if you're banking on mystical and monster being the most common thing you'll see, which I think is a fair bet right now, it makes sense. It's purely a meta call is all it is.
No, I get you. I feel like the healing and everything like that, the target thing, you can only have one character with target, right? There's no way around that, correct?
One at a time. Like we mentioned, if Roz manages to survive a single turn, then you can reassign your target.
One of the things I really hate about this is the mechanic in it is 80 points to change that target.
This Ra's al Ghul should have been 40 points.
Yeah, that's fair. There should be.
Give me the exact same character, change nothing, just make him 40 points, and I think he'd actually be playable.
And then is Valentina playable?
Yeah. So like I said, Valentina is the reason why this is a theme team.
Well, I get you, but that means you're playing a. You're playing.
She's a very good prob.
She has global prob, Scott.
Yeah. No, I hear you. All I'm saying is. There's obviously some they bring this team to us to try to make it work, correct? Like, they're not looking for us just to be like, with the team.
I mean, you never know. I've already shared my disdain for Roz. I think he's too expensive. He's too easy to KO.
The gimmick is cool. So Garrett, thank you. Pump that Deadshot's range up to 11 and let him rip. Debating between Crampton Fog and Shotgun. So the question is, why does this need to be themed? You're paying 40 points for a character, right?
It's pretty map dependent is a thing.
It's map dependent because Deadshot can't deal with blocking at all.
Yep. Okay.
And then also the Scott Porter giving, like, I think, you know, you and I have had this conversation and I'm sure we'll have it again in future shows about the importance of theme versus the importance of non-theme. The fact of the matter is, for 50 points, what both Scott Porters give you by way of stat bumps is ludicrous for 50 points.
Yeah.
The amount of plus ones they give you by just existing, not even considering the fact that they both get perplexed because you're implying the Sinestro Core ring. One of them has prob, one of them has the best pulse wave power in the game. You know, not even talking about that stuff. We're just talking everybody gets plus one attack. Everybody gets plus one defense. That is insane for 50 points. Cause like when we used to play the emotional modifier for 10, like, you know, you get the emotional modifier off on a character on a team. Everybody gets minus one attack or everybody gets minus one defense. It's like eight perplexes. We're effectively doing the same thing with Scots, except they're global. They're not related. You know, they're not required to be specifically within a certain radius. You know, obviously defensively, the Black Shirt Porter requires you to be adjacent. But that, I think that's why theme is important right now. I understand there are certain aspects, characters like Jennifer Kale, that like make those stat bumps kind of irrelevant for a little while, as long as she stays alive. But this is, I mean, it's just a, it's hard to deny the efficiency of what these characters provide you. So I think that's why there's a leaning towards theme. And I don't think we can really fault anybody for that.
And that's fair. That's a fair point. Very, very well thought out. PJ, you should take some notes.
I don't take notes.
But if I was to try to make this work, I have to protect Roz. That's a big, big factor here. Protecting Roz is challenging.
So like he does have Mastermind on his defense power. There's only one way to currently give him Protected Outwit, and that's Galactus.
Another thing is like he's basically, you have to commit your Porter to not be pulse waving because it needs to be sitting back with a stop sign barriering Roz.
Yeah, that's the problem. I honestly think the correct call is get rid of chance the shape change. Like you're going so hard into it, but people don't always hit shape change. My favorite part about shape change is you're like, okay, I'll target the other card in the server or whatever, you know.
That is fair.
Yep. So basically, which I get, I understand that in this scenario, because you know, you're playing Deadshot, you're trying to do all this different stuff. You're trying to make sure that this stuff works. And I would go the other Porter though.
And, also,
I get it though. If you're doing the trick shot thing, Deadshot, and they happen, you know, happen to have shape change, you're like this, but
important to point out with like, so Verusa, I agree with getting rid of, but Valentina has to stay, not even for the theme part, but for the shield.
Yeah. I know the shield's also important. So I get rid of Verusa, put Scott Crampton on there. Black Shirt Porter. Yeah.
That also gives you a full map reach with Deadshot from the start.
Yeah. Remember that the Bloodstone Light, to get rid of that shape change, you're killing her. I mean, right? Like she has to be within three squares.
She's being traded. Yeah.
Yeah.
If she even can get close enough, she only has a 6 speed and no TK.
Yeah.
Well, I think the shape change thing is break glass in case of emergency. I think you're more so looking for the granting mystics, granting the extra 15 victory points, you know, all that fun stuff. I think that's probably what the main idea is for this. Yeah.
Make it work? How would you protect Roz? Is there any changes you would make?
Well, I think what PJ said is absolutely correct. You just have to leave Scott Porter back with a stop sign and you're committing an action to burying him up. I do believe that dropping Verusa for Black Shirt Porter is probably the correct choice. Just because you need TK. A team without TK, the range is way too predictable here, and all your opponent has to do is move right up to where you can't hit them no matter what, and the next turn they attack you because they probably have TK. So
they do, and I know Deadshot can have an 11 attack or 11 range, which is a hell of a range. I cannot say that, but like, I think that a lot of people can still outrange you if they have TK.
They
can stay more than 11 back and then be able to TK.
And you can't give him running shot to extend it or anything. So it's a power.
That's what I'm saying. Like it's all predictable.
I will say this: hell of a good, like Spider-Man's fucked, right?
Oh yeah, no, this team absolutely takes Spider-Man by the ankles and says, later. Yeah,
here's the thing. Like the way this team works is it deletes something, and then if they have a secondary attacker, they probably just die immediately afterward.
Here's how I can see:
doesn't have a very good secondary attacker.
Yeah,
it slaps the shit out of 300 point apocalypse though.
Oh yeah,
fucking auto. Yeah, that's about as bad as you can get. You're like, you were playing your 300 point apocalypse and he's playing a
Talon.
Yeah. Talon is let's commend Gareth though, because Talon is better than, like, people don't play him, and I do think he's good.
Talon's only not played because the prime slot's so good.
Yes.
And the only way to make Talon more playable is with Ra's al Ghul, and Ra's al Ghul is awful.
Yeah.
that is a problem. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I would make a statement of saying that that's also not the only way to play talent. You can just play talent. Because if a 60-point character can delete some of the hardest things to delete in the game, that is worth it. If I protect my, you know, if I can kill your Spider-Man, that's pretty great, you know? And even if I can't do it three times, it doesn't matter. So this reminds me of sometimes you get too hard into the trick, and the trick is not, the trick isn't worth it that much.
So let's take a moment then. Let's drop Roz entirely from the team and see if there's something we can make very quickly, make better without Ra's al Ghul there.
Okay.
So, you know, we're looking at, so I do agree that Valentine is probably necessary in order to make Deadshot work. So, you know,
because you got Deadshot and Talon, right? They're both able to delete.
Yeah. Assassin, Soldier, Spy keyword. That's what we're looking at right now. And obviously Thunderbolts. So just give me 1 second.
I'll go Soldier real quick.
Well, that's the beauty of HC units. You can look at all of them simultaneously.
Yes, you can. I'm still going Soldier first, though.
I'm just saying I'm always going to be an advocate for Calendar Man, depending on what month it is.
Yeah, Calendar Man is amazing. Depending
for on Adepticon, it won't matter.
And for Rocket,
this build, I mean, there's a good chance that next phase isn't legal. So this build,
yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
that's true. Yeah. So I guess this is. Yeah. Yeah. So that's a great one. I think Pegasus Cap. He also deletes something.
Deathstroke is obviously a good option to give you another good attacker.
That's true. It's 100 points or 50.
Yeah, you can just play him at 50. It gives you an outwit. He still has his pulse wave power.
So I definitely feel like if you're going for like crazy deletion or whatever. So essentially, we don't have to put my pog on. So we have 85 points potentially. And you could get rid of Shock Gauntlet, so you could have...
Well, I think you're cutting Verusa, too, so I think you really have, like, 115
points. No, because I was putting Scott Porter on the black one.
Oh, right.
You're right, 115 is reasonable. I think the Captain America is beginning to make people make a lot of choices they don't want to now. And it does make your team a little harder to deal with, because they will have Energy Shield then, as well.
Another option over Ra's al Ghul, which I really like, is you just drop Ra's al Ghul and add Hawkeye and Hawkeye.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Like your team is obviously very one dimensional. I mean, it was already with range attacks. This team doesn't make close attacks hardly at all. But having Hawkeye and Hawkeye, now your range threat is full map almost always. Insane. Like it's
Hawkeye and Hawkeye is good. I will say that last night I killed one with a two gun kid. Or no. Yes, I did. I killed one of the two gun kid. And then I also used the two gun kid to kill. What is it? Cap Wolf.
Well, I mean, we all roll 11s every once in a while. It's fine.
They have a 13 attack. 13 out of 18. That's not crazy. Peacemaker. Green Widow finally has her time. Hey, actually, why isn't. Doesn't he actually have. Anybody on his team have shield?
Yeah, Valentina.
Yeah.
Is there just no shield people anymore? Like, they're over 50 points. Agent Coulson has not become a thing for some reason.
Yeah.
Hey, I think Justin was playing Cap Wolf. Agent Coulson can come out with Cap Wolf, right?
No.
Cap Wolf they have to have leadership as well. Son of a bitch.
Cap Wolf doesn't have shield. Cap Wolf is hollowing commands.
Does Coulson look for the TA or the keyword?
Shield keyword.
Oh, so Cap Wolf does have shield
Cap keyword. Wolf has
oh, it. Does he? Oh, yeah. Okay. I thought he was just
hollowing commands. Really cares 50 points or more worlds for leadership. My bet. Does Cap Wolf? Yeah, Cap Wolf has leadership.
It's traded.
Yeah. Agent Coulson should be on every Cap Wolf team.
Agreed.
Yeah, he's good. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's good, really good for free. Really, really good for free.
Yep. But yeah, if we're looking at just like quick ways to make this team slightly better,
Iron Inquisitor. Oh, never mind. I messed up.
Abigail, like if you Abigail Brand gives all of your friendly characters within range a shield.
Which oh, is yeah, nice. That's an interesting one. I think that's one dimensional, though. Is there a way for us to fit Is there a way? I mean, King Killmonger is a spy.
Yeah, and Black Skull is a soldier. So you could do Masters of Evil.
Yeah. I think that's the given way to go about it. I think they're too good, especially on a team that isn't really utilizing its sideline space.
So you drop Ra's al Ghul verbatim, add Masters of Evil. That leaves you with 40 points left after the shot gauntlets and the Scott Porter change. And then
that feels like,
yeah. Yeah, it's probably gap because you need a close attacker. So I would say that's probably going to be your better play. Yeah, you only get one assassin trait per game, but you're going to get that extra 25 points. And now your team actually has a little bit better synergy and a little bit, more win conditions.
You specifically put the target token on something that's defensively hard to deal with. Not necessarily what you're going to kill first, but what might be the hardest thing for you to actually kill.
Mm-hmm. Like a surfer or... Yeah. You know, definitely not a Masters of Evil. don't do that. That's bad. Yeah. But yeah, I think that'd be the best way to adjust this team.
Interesting team though, and I want to say that Talon should be talked about slightly more. Right now, everything's rollout, and Talon does say "fuck your rollout, bitch." Mm-hmm. And she has shape change super senses, so
and stealth.
Yeah. And stealth. So like she's not exactly easy. She has regen as free.
And prob on dial.
And prob. Like she does a lot. She's giving your team underworld. So she's definitely able to carry somebody. What a friendly character. And it works for any assassin. Is there just random assassins that are good?
Kind of. I mean, I think there's quite a few that are playable.
Orb?
Yeah, Orb's great.
Does that make Orb playable?
Orb's always been playable.
Yeah, but if he also says that you can't use defense powers, does that make Orb more playable?
Because Red Widow,
not playing Orb right now.
Red Widow is another one. Like if you just want a solid close attacker.
I think Phantasm's
decent.
What? Okay.
Anything that can make free attacks, I think is automatically okay. Like by default.
All right. Yeah, smoke cloud is free. If he occupies hindering terrain, make an attack. So if he occupies his smoke, can he make an attack? Or is that
smoke is hindering?
Because it doesn't say printed hindering. Okay. And then like has exploit. It's just blades exploit free attack. So.
Yeah. With Scott and perplexes, you can very easily make that a 13. So.
Yeah, that's true. With the Scott just passively at being 11 does make it easier.
And the other thing is, too, is like with Valentina on the team, you're looking at shield TAs. So don't forget that it's free make an attack. So you could still put three shield TAs next to Phantasm and just make a range attack if you really needed to.
That's true. That's interesting. Why have I never looked at Phantasm before?
Because you're a very one dimensional player.
That's ridiculous.
You only do things that do defensive. You never actually look at any offense whatsoever, which is why I have to remind you every time you build a team that you still have to score points to win a game.
Two Gun Kid does all kinds of offense. All kinds, I tell you.
All gas, baby.
All kinds of offense. He really does, actually. Hey, this is crazy, but Red Widow is 45 points. She's so damn good in pulp.
Mm-hmm.
Deleting their... Like Talon and her being able to say like no defensive powers. Geez. I mean,
she comes in and just erases something from the game.
Not for nothing. I think the 40 point Bowman is fine with Talon.
What's Bowman do?
Nothing. It's just good values for 40 points.
I suppose so.
They don't have
defense characters, power. I suppose.
Yeah. Like it's good enough.
Good enough, just trade out Deadshot for good enough Bowman.
Well, you got to think. I mean, he does have a running shot in addition to the six range with two targets. Yeah. So his reach is better.
Yep, it is.
Like, he
also gives your team access to Hydra.
30 point Bat Rock gets better if Talon's there. 30 point Bat Rock is actually not terrible, and I don't know why he never sees play. But
I think I would probably use Bullseye over Deadshot.
Really?
But I mean, if they don't have defense powers, like, again, when they shot with an 8 range with a print, like a 12 attack unassisted, like.
Yeah, but doesn't shoot through everything is, I think, the problem. But, you know, he shoots their character, so it's really just stealth that he's worried about.
Yeah, and not for nothing, his rally effect is really good.
His rally is insane.
His rally effect is as good as the kids in the game. There's no doubt about that.
Auto crit hit.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, I think we've reached the end in reality, in non-optimistic reality. Orb is a playable assassin. Deadshot is a playable assassin. In the absolute right circumstances, 30-point Lincoln March is, because sometimes you need leadership. Calendar Man is a playable assassin. So, see.
Sometimes.
Yeah. But not in Adepticon or the Rock Cup or Worlds, but he might be for Gen Con.
Son of a bitch. Like they knew.
The major events were in odd numbered months.
Yes.
Hell, even the Florida event was in January.
Yeah.
Possibly Phantasm. I don't love Phantasm, but I think he's okay. Yeah, I think I'm peaced out on this. There's really only.
All right, next team.
Next team, everybody.
Moving right along.
I like this. This is interesting to do. All right. Garrett submitted another team right afterwards. Oh, we spent a lot of time on your team for him to just be like, whatever, here's a different one. Damn it, Garrett. So Poison Ivy, I can read all these names, I believe. Poison Ivy at 80, Doom Supreme at 50. Again, you're making me look up people. Poison Ivy at 50 with the avatar of Kenosha. Fuck, she can have an avatar? She's a herald?
She's the herald of nature.
Okay, and then Poison Ivy has a blue lantern ring on her. I kind of get that. Wait, why?
Because she has empower, so it gives everybody adjacent to her +1 attack when making close attacks. So now her plants are starting to slap hard.
They already are probably good enough, in my opinion. But because you're just not making a construct with it, so that's 15 points. That's 10 points for +1 attack. So you got Brain 35, Scott Porter, Harley Quinn 25. So is that's the one that says if you have less characters, and then Moonstone at 25. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I mean, you don't have less characters, man. That's the first part.
Yeah. I don't like the Harley here. Well, I do and I don't, actually, because Harley on the team gives the Poison Ivy's BFF GFF.
Yeah.
And then Harley does have an effect still when you go. Is it like when you go first?
Yeah.
I think it's when you don't go first.
No, if you were the first player, when an opposing character is damaged by a friendly character's attack after resolution, steal that character 1 unavoidable.
Oh, you sick of being wrong, PJ? What?
Anywho. So Harley also has empower, for what it's worth. So these biting vines are hitting for like 5 penetrating.
Yeah, I'll give you on the biting vine. So I like Harley. I think Doom Supreme.
It's Masters of Evil. It just switches into Kid Thanos, so he has a taxi.
No, Moonstone's the taxi. It switches into Inquisitor Killmonger. But it gives him a secondary taxi should Moonstone die. Yeah.
Why do we not play Moonstone more? She teleports. She phases 10 and carries 3.
Because it's only characters that share a keyword with her. Now, granted, Masters of Evil is fine. Celebrity's fine.
Science.
But it's still kind of restrictive.
Yeah, it's restrictive. But I gotta put Moonstone in my lineup more, like as just a thought process, because I'm always trying to be like, I gotta carry people.
Yeah, she also has wild cards. So like if you're playing a Green Lantern, like Prime Batman or something, you just have another character to copy GLTA with.
Yeah, and 10 moves.
Nice. Really good right now.
Yeah, 10 move is serious. And she has Pulse Wave. I mean, you're never using that almost, because you just carried all your characters. But Maybe if it's what, if it could win you the game.
I mean, she does have like realistically an 11 or 12 attack with IT characters. I mean, the damage value isn't a lot, but
that's true. Nothing. Yeah. I like Moonstone. I'll give you credit on Moonstone.
The brain, I get the idea of doing the mind control afterwards, but I feel like you're pumping too many actions into do stuff after carry. Cause you're already utilizing two of your actions for the poison ivy pogs. So
your actions are move, brain, pog.
Yeah.
All right. I like the idea of trying to whittle this down a little bit,
but it could also. Yeah. I like
you could take off the
only leadership.
Huh?
Yeah, there's leadership. Is
the brain, the only leadership the team has.
Supreme, Doom Supreme at the moment, but
yeah, I would never bank on that.
Yeah,
I would almost drop Doom Supreme or not Doom Supreme, Brain and Harley Quinn for like the uncommon Harley, the 50.1. Like, I think she's actually really solid for what she offers, and the fact that she doesn't just die in one hit makes the BFF GFF thing go off pretty well. And it gives you more consistent leadership then, because Brain's pretty easy to kill.
Well, and Brain also just can't be carried by Moonstone, because you're probably carrying your MOE in both Poison Ivies.
Well, and that might be a situation where...
I mean, you could be playing Kid Thanos, too, just to carry.
Yeah, he is. And that might be where you are switching to Kid Thanos to follow up with the rest of the team. But then you're defensively, you're in trouble. So, yeah. I don't know.
I feel like you're better off doing it a different way. You know what I mean?
I think you're hoping to go first, so that way turn one you can switch into Kid Thanos and turn two you can switch into Inquisitor or Killmonger. But that requires a lot to go right. The biggest issue right now, I think, in competitive or in general, but especially modern, is one dimensional teams typically don't do very well because there's too many different archetypes that are out there. So, like, for example, this team, I don't believe, could kill a 300-point Apocalypse. I think it just auto-loses.
But
Well, you say, oh, you don't have to worry about 300-point APOC, except there was two of them being played in Florida. I understand that's only two out of 60-something players.
All right, hold on.
But running into it is still a problem.
All he has to do is have Scott Porter run out, do the yellow stop sign, and now he's trapped for the rest of the
game. He is not, because the player that you played against with Apocalypse didn't build Apocalypse correctly. You have to be playing the phasing. You have to be playing the phasing card, and you have to be playing the Hermit in Modern.
Stealth card, I think, is what you meant, though, right?
Apocalypse does not have stealth.
It doesn't. Isn't that the hold on? No, there's the.
What does he get to do for phasing? Because he still can't phase away. But yeah, the Hermit gets him back.
Yeah, the Hermit is the only one that gets him out of blocking in Modern.
Yeah.
It was in...
I'm still saying that's not exactly...
And then also, for what it's worth, Emperor is another one that you probably throw on. If you go outdoors, Emperor just makes you colossal for a turn, and then you can just...
That's true. You can actually do stuff. Yeah. Yep. That's big.
Yeah, I do think this team should have had the 25-point Spider-Man. You're on Scientist team. Why would you not wildcard everyone with Masters of Evil TA access? Like,
that's your Masters of Evil itself ends up being. It's not wildcarding everyone. I mean
everyone that he's adjacent to.
Yeah, that's more efficient than the Blue Lantern Ring too. I was trying to figure out how to make his team like his team like. Oh, you know who's a good scientist that isn't on this team that could be, that also does the same thing? Spider-Man, Prime Spider-Man. But then he'd have to replace his... Oh, wait, he wouldn't have to replace anything. Let's see, he has Brain. He can take off Brain. No, he can't because he needs leadership, right? I mean,
you just remove 80-point Poison Ivy for 80-point Spider-Man.
Yeah, I think, and then you're kind of, yeah, I mean,
if you need to do the carry in order to get Spider-Man into position, turn one, you just give yourself a token, turn two, you give yourself another token, carry him up, and then charge Flurry if you like absolutely had to.
Yeah.
And then I think you drop Brain for Blackshirt Porters because you need TK access and more consistent TK access. This is the biggest issue with both of Garrett's teams so far is neither of them had direct TK access, and that's an issue. Like you have to have TK.
I think normal. I mean, he has Iron Inquisitor, I suppose, but yeah.
Yeah, but you're not taking, like, in order to alpha, you're not taking the action with Inquisitor because you need to be able to move the rest of your team into position.
Don't tell Garrett what he's doing. All right. We've given a lot of time to Garrett. Thanks, Garrett. All right. John wants to, John, who plays my thing, is playing. This is 400 point modern.
This is a silver.
Silver. Okay, my bad. We'll do that in a different episode. What is the next modern team?
Eric. I have a few pulled up. I clicked
Gotham City Underworld.
Yep. Eric Adams, Gotham City Underworld.
Yeah, Gotham City Underworld. People try to make that work.
So here's the thing with what Eric's doing here. He's using the OP kit Penguin and Joker in order to bring out Blackheart, Kong, or Carnage, Silver Surfer at the beginning of the game. And then those characters stay out in lieu of Penguin and Joker until they take damage, not including Pulse Wave because that trait's not protected Pulse Wave. So it's one of those things where they're utilizing these OP kit characters to try and get an early alpha off with these monsters. And then when the monsters get hit, the Joker and Penguin come out. It's a novel idea. I don't hate it. The biggest issue I have with it, Eric, is Joker and Penguin on their own are not very good. So at this point, you're better off just playing these monster characters starting on your team. And like, I get it. Whoever Penguin swaps out for gets Mastermind and Outwit. Like, that's really good. But you could just also just play the monsters and not have to worry about being afraid of taking damage because 15 damage attacks exist. And they're going to hit you eventually.
Yeah. Penguin's best thing is energy explosion or blades cause fangs. And
the other Penguin, yes. Super rare Penguin.
Yep. Yeah, I get that the feeling is that he would never. Porters are just everywhere, man. Like, you'd have to run across the map to mainly kill Porter and then just hope that you never miss with your Cardinal Silver Surfer. But fun fact, I have indeed hit a Cardinal Silver Surfer in my life. I don't know why we feel like they're impossible to hit. They're really not.
Because every time I play against them, my opponent hits the rollouts every fucking time.
That's how it feels like, too. But like, they're not impossible to hit. I think, what is it, like, realistically, it's a 40% chance or something? 40% chance to hit? Is that right?
It's 233s, something like that, yeah.
It'd be like 49% or something. 49%.
And so, that's Gotham City Underworld. I like the trickery, and it does. I mean, admittedly, it's coming at people a lot. It's not good against high defense, but it is coming at people a lot, and I like that. All right. And yes, correctly, what I just said was I like coming at people a lot. That was probably a mistake in my room.
Hey, phrasing.
Yeah.
Anywho.
All right. What is the next team, guys?
Adam Machieski says Cthone at 300 points. Go. I think my answer to that is no.
In sealed, I beat Cthone twice.
That was team sealed. It's a completely different format.
Oh, my bad. Team sealed, I beat Cthone twice.
And I know that sounds pedantic, but it does matter because in team sealed, you have an entire brick of characters to build more well fleshed out teams. In two boosters sealed, the likelihood that you pull characters that could beat Cthone straight up is very, very
low. Basically, like, did you pull Theros? You didn't.
Zarathos. Yeah.
Zarathos. If you didn't pull Zarathos, then whoops-a-daisy. Not going well. I don't think, I can't imagine that's a good idea.
Yeah.
No, it's not. Terrible. It's just not better than APOC. Like, I'm going to play a 300 point piece. I'm going to play APOC.
Yep. Yeah.
BJ, why don't you tell us about Jeff's team?
Which one is that? The Mystic Monkey?
Mystic Monkey.
Okay. So that would be an Arachnite with the Black Symbiote, Kong, Blackheart with the Blue Lantern Ring, Mad Jim, Magic, 30 point Magic with Swordbearer trait, And then double Porter, obviously with Sinestro ring, has four equips on the sideline and Cathone. So Muramasa, Star Sapphire ring, and both cycles. I'm assuming one of the cycles is assigning to Kong.
Yep.
Well, and weird to even you can symbiote on there.
Symbiote is I've seen some other players play Black Symbiote on Arachnite. Not a wise idea.
No,
he already has stealth, and he already gets steel energy when he takes any damage at all.
It's not better than just giving him either like rollouts or
give him a soul sword or give him a warlock sword.
Oh, if you want defensive too. Weird.
Yeah, Arachnite doesn't have the symbiote keyword.
Well, let's talk about what we really wanted to talk about. Mystic Monkey is indeed a good team name, so we should try to make this work.
Absolutely. I
think the team of itself is fine. I just think the sideline adjusted.
I don't like magic.
I don't like magic. I don't like the blue lantern ring on Blackheart.
Well, that's what I mean. The equipments, I think, are all wrong.
Yeah.
But if you're just playing magic for a sword bearer, I don't agree with that.
And that one you are. I think it's also his source of leadership.
Because
like 25 point magic is just better than 30 point magic.
All right. Well, so just saying it out loud, does it have to be Mad Jim? Does Kong need the cycle, or is it better to short out? He's at 7 characters, right? So we can't.
I think if you're playing Kong at 50, it becomes difficult to get less characters than an opponent unless you really focus on high costed characters. We talked about this in our last episode. Yeah. If your goal is mystical, I think you just accept the fact that you're going to have to rely on your other characters to deal some damage, and that's fine. The major changes I would make here just immediately is drop magic entirely. Switch Blackheart over to a shot gauntlets instead of a blue lantern ring, because pulse wave force blast is just always good. And then that extra 35 points now that you have freed up, just add apocalypse for a consistent source of leadership. Well,
either that, or you can just use the points to make Arachnite full value.
This is also true, but getting rid of magic means you lose your leadership access. And I don't think it's acceptable to play no leadership unless you only have 3 characters.
And you can't play Kong without leadership, because if he's eating 2 of your actions, then
exactly. So that's where I think you just play apocalypse at 35 with a sword and just call it a day. In this situation, if your goal is to play Arachnite, Kong, Blackheart together, that eats up so many of your points already that I think you don't have much other options.
I get the Mad Jim thing.
The other option is you could just drop Arachnite and drop Mad Jim and go Masters of Evil.
Drop Arachnite. He needs Arachnite, dude.
Well, I'm just saying, like, the Mad Jim, you could also, like, if you just drop.
I was trying to combine his Mad Jim and magic for one character. And I mean, honestly, though, you could probably even take
Blackheart
and try to combine it into one character.
If you want to drop Mad Jim and magic, that's 70 points. Just play Ghost Rider.
That's a good one.
He's mystical. He has leadership and he's awesome. And then you could drop again Blackheart down to the shot gauntlets, which will give you an 5 extra points. So then you can put Bucky's arm on Ghost Rider. Now you have a much more fleshed out team. You don't have great reach. You have okay reach because of Blackheart, but it's not insane. You do at least have a consistent form of leadership, which you need. I think that's probably going to be your best bet. And then you definitely switch out Black Symbiote, like get rid of it. It's useless here. I understand you get to heal 2 if you KO a character, but just play Soul Sword or Warlock.
Soul Sword is so much better.
Well, if you can't afford a Soul Sword because it's hard to get and it's expensive, totally understand. Warlock is like 50 cents. So just do that.
That's true. I have a lot of Soul Swords, probably like 8.
Yeah, that's because you spend stupid money on this game. Not everybody has your fucking bank account, Scott.
That's true. And I wasn't trying to be unsympathetic to that. But unless it was against PJ, because you're a dirty poor.
No, but you played in a ton of Ten of Swords events.
Like, yeah, I played in several with you.
Yeah, I played in so many of those. And the prizing for we won the team thing for Rock, or not Rock, Champion Clicks, and the prizing was a whole mess of like bricks of that. Yep. So hit me up if you need one, man. I'm sure I have.
Well, some. And I wasn't implying that Jeff couldn't afford a Soul Sword. I'm just saying in general.
You're implying Jeff's a poor fuck.
No.
You know you are.
I think most HeroClix players are poor fucks.
The only thing we all have in common is we make bad life choices.
This is true. We play with a plastic game for children.
Yeah. I do miss the days where we used to say, like, Isaac, can we get him disqualified because it says ages 12 and up? I miss those days.
I mean, we could still say it, but it's just not true anymore.
Yeah. All right. Real quick. Is there a mystical prime that I'm not thinking of?
Brother Voodoo.
That's not better. I was trying to think if there's like an expensive mystical prime, you know?
I think Absorbing Man does have the mystical keyword, if I recall correctly, but you're never going to play him on force.
I will note that.
Don't you tell me.
I know there's Lilith and Brother Voodoo.
I don't hate Lilith. Lilith is really good.
I mean, Lilith is technically better and it does exactly the same thing.
You lose your leadership though. Yeah, I'm going to maintain you have to have leadership, no exceptions.
We can also just go right into whose team was it? There's another Kong team that got posted. Jordana.
All right, Jordana, let's go into that team with Kong. I mean, I guess the question is, Kong is good, but isn't he a lot better when there's only one? Like when you can get it down or whatever?
He's an expensive retaliator, right? Because you're not playing, like, he's not a retail, don't get me wrong, but he plays in the way that he is because he gets better with more things of yours that die.
Yeah, that's true.
He's a good tempo maintainer.
Yeah. So this is one, almost every team that's been submitted is seven figures. This is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So that's a good start. Definitely a good start. So Unicorn's team, he has Ghost Rider, Kong, Blackheart, which it seems like Kong and Blackheart are together all the time. So I just want to kind of point out that Kong in a way is 100 points. Iron Inquisitor, Mephisto, Scott Porter.
So it looks like he's using Colony on Inquisitor to drop it for Kong. I personally think that if you're going to do this, I would much rather see you start go Monster instead, because all of this is, I guess if you're playing Ghost Rider, never mind. I was going to say if you play Monster, you can start with a Black Symbiote on Black Skull and then just give that to Kong instead. And Stealth and Steel Energy on Kong is really good. But giving Exploit to Kong feels fine. The only issue with it is he's probably dealing penetrating damage most of the time anyways, since anytime you attack a giant flyer or are on elevated, you're already dealing pen damage. So Colony doesn't feel super useful all the time. I don't like Motorcycle on Ghost Rider. Just play Bucky's Arm. It's just better.
Yeah, I agree with that. So we got 15 points. So that's 10 points less and another. So we got 20 less points. Hear me out. Remove 20 points and Mephisto, put another Kong.
No. So the idea with Masters of Evil with Kong is because Kong is so hard to put down in a lot of situations, unless they're playing a lot of Precision Strike, Kong going to his last click means that you have the Masters of Evil to just heal him off of it.
I get what you're saying. I mean, I do. I get why that's good. Maybe I need to play against Kong more. So
I definitely think you do, because I think there's going to be a lot of Kong teams at Adepticon.
Oh, there will be. There will be. Don't get me wrong. So you got Kong here. And why? So obviously he gets a single rollout for the willpower, right? Or for the impervious. So it's
all right, I gotta derail for a second. So I started getting the spam text where it's like a scammer who sends like a picture of themselves and it's like this random Asian girl. And I've been like, I've been replying to this scammer and just having such a great time with it. Like, I'm like, you look like an Asian Michael Jackson. And then she asked what my name was. I'm like, it's Candace. Candace, dick fit in your mouth. Like,
I will say you should watch the most recent John Oliver.
Yeah,
last week tonight.
Yeah, a lot of them are like literally like
slaves.
Yeah, they're slaves. No, I know. Yeah, I know. Yeah. That's why I'm not being like telling them to kill themselves or anything.
Yeah.
But
the other option.
There's a good chance this is just like a 40-year-old guy from Myanmar who's like handcuffed to a desk.
Yeah.
No, know that's really morbid, but it probably is.
True,
yeah.
Fucking true.
Well, anywho, sorry to go really dark there for a second.
Did you just anywho slavery? What the hell is wrong with you? I'm going to have to edit this whole thing out. What timestamp are we at right now?
I don't know.
Oh, so anyway, my feedback for this team I would prefer to see one of the like 15-point equipments drop, right? Like, I don't personally think Ghost Rider has to have a motorcycle.
No, he definitely does not need a motorcycle. So
he could have the 10-point equip and put the bike on Inquisitor to drop for Kong. Because I like hypersonic from the Hell Cycle on Kong.
Well, motorcycle is also just good. Like giving him +2 speed and senses is fine.
You already have Blackheart. Like, does he get some benefit from hyper speed that I'm not understanding?
He can use it twice.
So he can attack twice?
He can't use it twice. You can't be given the same action twice in a turn.
You can't be given the same free action twice in a turn. You can do the same costed twice,
yeah,
right?
He has two costed. Yeah, it's true.
You just normally can't because of the rules of taking costed actions.
Yeah, this is the only character
that gives you. Might be right. Yeah.
He can hypersonic in, punch,
Lucas.
And then hypersonic again, punch, and move back. So he basically gets to move up flurry and then come back.
Wait, how is he flurry?
I said it's basically up attack and then attack and move.
Gotcha.
Not being able to quake sucks there, but I get it. I don't disagree with you.
But I guess like in a matchup where you want to see quaking, you don't go on to the hypersonic click. But that's less ideal, I guess. Because
I mean, you can still be on hypersonic.
Yeah, that's true. You still just have charge. Yeah.
I don't like that at all. I still stand by the fact if you're going all in, you might as well go all in. And yes, it's harder to kill a Kong that's healing, but it's harder to kill than a Kong that's healing? Just killing two Kongs. I think that's harder because it does take an all-out effort to kill a Kong, and then you still have a Kong, and then you still have a Ghost Rider, and then you still have a... I don't know what you're doing with Ironing Poisoner, to be honest.
Yeah, because WizKids refuses to make characters like this unique.
Yeah. Oh,
they sell a lot less iconics if he's unique.
That's true. I bought four because I honestly felt like that might be an option. Blackheart, Kong, 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 and then like, I don't know, Mad Jim or something. Mm-hmm. Or two porters. Those are all like, he is good. He is very, very good and very hard to deal with. And with Ghost Rider, Pulse Wave doesn't work. I'm not sure if I even like Ghost Rider, but on the team. But I guess he is really protecting Iron Inquisitor.
He's also, like I said, just a consistent source of leadership. I think people aren't realizing how important leadership is.
Ghost Rider also has it. But yeah, Ghost Rider and Iron Inquisitor, right? No, Iron Inquisitor doesn't have it.
He's also just a good offensive threat. Like, his values are great.
Who? Mm-hmm. Ghost Rider? Ghost Rider. Yeah, Ghost Rider is a 6 damage. I forgot that during this thing, I forgot that he had shape change on Cap Wolf. I just forgot because I was playing online. So I had the ability to attack two characters by using the same placement, but just didn't. And then he rolled shape change. I'm like, okay, well, I guess I go back and I don't deal you 6 damage and don't kill the thing next to you that had no out rollouts. That stuff's so frustrating. Every figure has 10 powers. It's so fucking annoying now. And they,
I mean, if you just knew how to read, it wouldn't be a problem.
Look, first and foremost, this game should be accessible to the illiterates. And how dare you not represent my kind of illiterate? Well,
okay, so if you're illiterate, then just ask. Does anybody have shape change? Yes. Okay. It's not that fucking hard.
I believe I asked it, was there any defensive powers?
Which shape change is not. So. Yeah.
I get that. Yeah. I get it. No,
we still need a petition to move shape.
It was my bad. It was my fault. Obviously my fault, not my opponent's. All right. Any other teams before we wrap up here? I think we have one or two, right?
There are two more that I saw.
Two more.
One's a detective team, and then one is, I think it was Jackson posted, a scientist team.
All right. Jackson, newcomer Jackson.
Never heard of her.
Yeah, never heard. All right. So why don't you guys read Jackson's team?
So he's got the new Hulk and She-Hulk from Disney Plus.
Oh, Jackson quit. Quit HeroClix.
At 100 points with Khonshu. And then Spider-Man with Black Symbiote, Iron Inquisitor, Harley Quinn with the Blue Lantern ring, and Scott Porter with the Sinestro Corps ring. So he's basically utilizing the 100-point Hulk and She-Hulk for the trait that he has, where every time Hulk and She-Hulk is given a close-range terrain action, choose one to use during that action. Either hit characters are given an action token, or opposing characters adjacent to the original target become targets. This enables Hulk and She-Hulk to smash somebody for smash a whole team for 6 damage if you play it correctly.
Yep.
Yes. So the biggest issue is getting Hulk and She-Hulk into position before they just die.
You can do 7.
Where are you getting 7 from?
No, I was thinking
3.
Yeah. No. Man, I'm great at this.
Yeah. Jack said in his comment, dealing 7 to a whole team. Like, I guess it's technically true with Harley.
Yep.
But you're also playing 1, 2, 3, 4. I guess he's only got 5 characters. So,
and they also do have super strength, not for nothing. So it could actually be 8.
No.
So the hope is that Iron Inquisitor essentially, Iron Inquisitor hopefully keeps Hulk and She-Hulk alive.
And Spider-Man. I mean, you basically move forward to Spider-Man and force them to deal with him before Hulk and She-Hulk come in to finish the game.
Yeah.
I think it's the idea here.
Yeah, because their reach isn't exactly.
It's not good.
And you're playing TK and then a 4-square charge.
Yeah.
Blackheart can't help in this, right?
No. Because okay. he doesn't have monster or mystical. I mean, he's obviously joking, like memeing around here. I get what he's going for. And if he pulls it off, he probably wins. But versus an actual like competitive team, you're probably never pulling it off.
Yeah, Harley Quinn.
Or if you are, it was in a game you were probably winning anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, just not enough reach. I like the avatar for the self prob, but
not enough reach, not protected out with.
I almost feel like you should just at that point in time just go for it and put Kong on instead of Iron Inquisitor and just be like, I'll move She-Hulk. Kong will carry 8. And
yeah. She-Hulk just break theme. Do whatever you want to do for Kong.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God damn it. It's breaking theme. Who cares? Why does he care? I don't know. Yeah. Kong breaks theme. Gosh darn it.
Well, it doesn't even matter if it breaks theme because Harley Quinn's effect still works for non-theme teams. So you just do it.
But then you might as well cut Porter.
That is true.
So I don't actually agree fully. I played Porter on non-theme recently and I thought it was good, but I get it.
If I'm going to play a Porter on non-theme, I'm probably playing Blackshirt Porter.
You don't get the continuity, but you still get the heal and the... free or in the +1 defense.
That is pretty nice. And his dial, the TK and perplex, I value over the prob and the pulse wave, I guess.
Sure. If you're already building your team with attackers, makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Okay. That's a hard one. I don't think She-Hulk's good. She-Hulk and She-Hulk is good enough, but it could be, especially when it becomes like, ah, shit. I have to let Kong, and that's my theory, is I'm like, so I have to ignore Kong and Spider-Man to kill Hulk, She-Hulk. That would be hard for me. I'd be like, I am thinking about my own defensive shell, though. And from a defensive shell standpoint, I would be terrified of this team.
I think you, I think your defensive shells, you should be terrified of Kong.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. That is what I'm thinking about right now.
Because if Kong comes in and quakes, like, I understand he might need to roll a 7 or an 8. But if he hits, Jen's dead. And yeah, as soon as Jen's dead, your team falls apart.
Your team falls apart.
Okay.
Yes. So Kong's obviously...
Kong's good. I mean, I think that's the general consensus of this episode, is Kong is good. I mean, just,
yeah, I mean, he's a 12 attack. Yeah, I mean, some of them, I don't think I can get her defense past the 19. There's nothing that...
Well, you have perplexes. You could...
I have... No, I really don't.
Oh, really?
Perplexes do I have? Well, sure, we can go over my team right after we go over the last person's team, which is... Yeah.
Superman arrest squad.
You know, I like what he's going for with this. But
an arrest squad.
Yeah.
It's so, basically the adventure of the Speckled Band as a team.
I'm sorry, what the fuck are you guys talking about?
It's a mystery card. Adventure of the Speckled Band is a mystery card.
Oh, okay. So it's
when a friendly character uses a listed key. With a listed keyword, uses Outwit to target an opposing character after resolutions gain a clue token. 3, all characters get all friendlies get stealth. 8, friendly characters use poison. And 12, when the characters use poison, they deal penetrating damage. So the idea is you're using Lex Luthor to give everybody Superman enemy.
Yep.
Outwitting a shit ton of times, even if it's the same character on powers that they don't have, it doesn't really matter.
Yep.
Get all the way to case close 12. And then just poison the shit out of your opponent. That's what he's doing.
Okay.
I don't think it can compete in the meta because it's just a bunch of shit that Carnage Surfer is going to kill, and you can't even target him without wit. Like, you're going to have a bad time in the meta.
He should be playing Ace, but that doesn't make any sense because then Ace is the only one who gets to use outwit. So, yeah.
I love this as a, it's probably too good to play at your locals type team, but like I don't think it can compete.
Misty Knight, Jesus Christ, double Misty.
I mean, one Kong quake just ends this entire team's existence.
I don't, I will say one of the more interesting and fun things I got to do last night was he had 4 werewolves on the board and my 2-gun kids just housed them turn 1, which is kind of nice. So ironically, he rolled the not shape change thing. His first turn, he's like, cool, I can use charge flurry.
Yep, I've done that playing Capwolf way too many times. That's why I don't play Capwolf anymore.
Yeah. Why does Sherlock Holmes need? Why is he good here?
He gets rid of Safeguard and Protected Outwit. It was in
4. Oh, gotcha. Yeah,
but so I just feel like he's dead a lot.
That's like, fair.
And it gets weird because like if something just moves outside of the 4, they immediately get all their powers back. Like, I don't know. I really like the idea.
So he can replace Sherlock Holmes, period, right? Even if he's not on the sideline?
No, replacement inherently comes from the sideline.
Oh, okay. When it takes damage after resolutions, you may replace him with Sherlock
Holmes. Which he doesn't even have on the sideline. Yeah.
Murder was the case. Ventures of the Speckled Man.
Yeah, I like PJ said, I think we understand what he's going for here. It probably needs to be tightened up.
Yeah, fun. And all right, yeah, I'll just mention my team real quick that I won last night with, and then we'll wrap up and see if there is any changes, maybe Kong related changes. So we got Wonder Woman with utility belt, Green Ring, Ghost Rider with Bucky's arms, Ghost Goblin, Jennifer Kale, Spider-Man, the 25.1, the grants wild cards, 2-gun kid, Scott Crampton, and then Nifty Traffic Barrel. So Nifty Traffic Barrel wasn't bad. It does make things confusing for people, and it does make it hard to get next to Jennifer Kale in the back, even if they kill something. I don't know. It did well. I mean, people can't deal with it, but I will say this. My opponent would have won. I killed so many points, almost 200 points of his build, but his carnages were about to ramp up. So,
yep.
So I guess basically, sorry, I had to text something real quick. I apologize. You know, the Ghost Goblin switches out after giving everybody. I start with Ghost Goblin. He switches out. I actually have been playing a lot of King Killmonger just because that was coming up quite a bit. But I don't know what. How does this team do against Kong? Is it just getting fucking destroyed?
You got to make a miss. It's really the main thing.
So basically, they'll have three chances. I don't know how many rerolls they'll have, but it'll be 12 on a 19.
Also, don't underestimate hitting him for one.
Kong?
Yeah.
Yeah. Gets rid of his Quake.
Yeah, the Quake thing is obviously the scary part, right? And
Two Gun Kids have Precision Strike?
They sure do.
So then, yeah, I mean, that's probably what your goal is you Precision Strike Kong down. Kong's biggest weakness is Precision Strike.
Yeah, it is.
If you can sit there and peace strike him to death, then he'll die.
I just don't know. I mean, the nice part is he does 3 damage Quake, but I guess that also rocks my people back, so they might end up dying.
You'll be out of formation regardless.
Here is a simple change you could make that I think will actually pay dividends. So drop the nifty traffic barrel. Okay.
I like this.
And then bump Jennifer Kale up to 35 points.
Oh, that's an interesting idea.
You do that. You put Jen in a spot where she can't be knocked back into a wall. And now suddenly you don't have to worry about
Kong.
You don't have to worry about Kong one-shotting her unless he decides to not Quake. And if he's only killing Jen, it's not that big of a deal.
No, he's going to Quake twice. I have 8 characters.
Maybe.
Either way, she gets to survive the first one.
She does get to survive.
The more chances for him to miss. Like that's now he's not going to miss her on the follow up, but he might miss somebody else.
Well, she's always adjacent. There's really no way to get. It's very unlikely that she wouldn't end up adjacent to Wonder Woman.
Well, you got to remember that first Quake has knockback. So.
No, I get you. I know what you're saying.
I just assume nothing is where you want it after the first Quake.
Yeah, unfortunately, my team has to go next to a bunch of walls. That's kind of how it works usually. I've been finding less and less people picking map, by the way, and more people picking more and more people having me go first. Are you guys finding that or having them go first?
That you act like I have played any amount of HeroClix games since like August.
You're not really selling this, are you?
Now, I will say while judging, I did observe more people choosing to go first, but they would always check their opponent's maps. And if, you know, they have all short maps, they just say, I'm going first. Like,
yeah, exactly. Nope. Which is why you need to play more like tunnels in a long map. I think I probably right now I have the CriticalClix headquarters on my build.
Me too.
And so I have 2 long maps and 1 short is generally what my builds are. Yeah. I use Blitzkrieg Manhattan just because I love the fact that Two Gun Kids do not need help and they can hit you across the board.
Is Otherworld Castle your third map?
No, maybe it should be. Okay.
That's what my 3 are.
Otherworld Castle is like, well, PJ, and that's in part because of all the conversations we've had. Otherworld Castle is just such a hard map for people to deal with that they can't handle having, you know, all this elevated and some blocking that they all of a sudden have to work through. And if people aren't focusing on that, like, it's tough.
Yep.
I don't know if my 8-figure like team would really benefit from that map too much, though. It's just everybody has to be in a big clump. Like I don't have the ability to do spacing as much and I can't even clump up. Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Yeah. There's only like 2 or 3 spots in the whole map I can clump up with. unless I'm going just to the side that's kind of blankish. And then what does it matter? It just makes it harder. I don't have one of the things about my team is it's not particularly great at like seeing.
I mean, just full stop right there. Right. It's not particularly great.
Fuck yourself.
Roasted.
All right, guys, that is it for our episode. Good luck at Adepticon. I will see you there. PJ, are you going to be there?
I am. And I'm going to be playing
it. What's your team?
Oh, I'm going to be playing Amazons.
Amazons. Are you playing Mission Point?
No.
Amazon.
I'll read it. That's fine.
Okay.
So it's World's Finest, Death Metal Wonder Woman.
Criminally underplayed Death Metal Wonder Woman right now.
Yeah, well, and I'm actually using her keyboard sheet.
Nice. For
Justice League's game Amazon, right?
Yeah.
And I'm playing the 005 LE Wonder Woman, the Nubia. From the box set, the Triple Attack Flurries.
Yeah.
I'm playing the 35 point iconic soups. Green Lantern, Batman, and Double Porter. And then I have a Soul Sword on Death Metal Wonder Woman, Motorcycle on Nubia, Bucky's Arm on Superman, Batman gets his free equips, Yellow Ring, Sideline's pretty obvious stuff. Zombie suits, the I call him Billy Ray Kent. The
I do not know why people don't play that Wonder Woman. That's such a good Wonder Woman.
Yeah, well, and she has that placement, global placement, if somebody with Amazon keyword takes damage from an attack. So I can just leave her home.
Keep her in the back.
Yeah, and then once they've committed, now I have a triple attack.
Yeah.
Bloody blades.
You know? Yeah. I have to hope that I can outwit you or something like that, because triple attack blades is just fucking brutal.
Well, and not for nothing, she has a global leadership that takes a token off my entire team. So, yeah. Like, I think she's good. I think all of the figures on this team are just a good pile of things thrown together.
Yeah.
I do have C'thon on Death Metal Wonder Woman. And then I'm using the Murder in the City Enduring card, and actually expecting it to go off at some point. Even though I only have two figures that can actually add to it, but I think they're two figures that are going to be constantly taking actions.
Okay. So
I think it's fairly reasonable for that to happen. I do have another random mystery card on the sideline. Just
because. I really feel, honestly, I mean this, that could easily take 15th, even 20th place.
You know, there's going to be like 42 people. I'm expecting.
I think above half, buddy.
Yeah.
Above half. You could easily lose to like me or Lucas in like
maybe both.
Round.
Maybe both. You know,
Lucas, what are you playing, buddy?
So at this point, I'm in true me fashion. I don't know. I am kind of on the fence between a few different options. I think that realistically I'm probably on Defenders right now. It's kind of tough for me. What was that?
Defenders?
Yeah. So the team that like Rob Olger played at at Florida.
Oh shit. It, wow. Shout out to Rob and the
making some adjustments based on my own personal idea.
Okay.
My idea and Dan's. Well, so like Rob was playing Iron Fist, and I told him flat out, I was like, Iron Fist doesn't make any sense here. You shouldn't be playing that. And he's like, yeah, I didn't really know what else to put on.
For people who don't have a photographic memory of Rob's team, why don't you just walk it through real quick?
Well, it's like the six Defenders characters that are legal. So it's Ghost Rider with Carnage, Silver Surfer, Arachnite, and then both Scott Porters and Hulk.
Yeah.
Prime Hulk. Prime Hulk. He's Defenders. Okay. And then so the changes I made is I removed, after Dan and I talked about this, is remove the Iron Fist for Misty Knight, who also has Defenders. And then basically what you do is you have Misty make Hulk a detective.
Okay. So that way you could trigger a Mutt's Tomb.
Yep, that's good.
So it's tested well. The biggest issue I have with it is it's reliant on rollouts. And I, as some of you may know, am not super confident in my ability to roll things out. So that's where I'm at right now with the team. I personally am kind of in a tough spot with that. And so I might be making some changes. I don't know. I might also just hard counter Scott. It's entirely possible.
Just hard counter my two gun kid team with like an all stealth team or something.
No, I'll just play like six pulse waves. after I blatantly told you yesterday that
nobody plays pulse wave.
Well, that not that nobody plays pulse wave. I didn't say that.
Yeah,
I told you that you have no answer for pulse wave.
That's true.
And so I'm
playing Ghost Rider and yet somehow have no answer for pulse wave as well. Like that's true. I think I have no answer for pulse wave against I've been trying to figure out how to play Spider-Man so that he has an answer for pulse wave, but I only get a roll up. I basically just can't get knocked back because Spider-Man's amazing. If he takes one click, he's like the best character. I suddenly charge flurry you and then hit you and you have a mobile or minus two attack. He's just so good. But I did get to make, I will say this, I get an extra against Kong. I do get three rollouts because if they're quaking, they're attacking Spider-Man as well. So, and I guess the quake would only be, it would really just be to kill Jennifer Kale, right? Kill Jennifer Kale and Spider-Man and Scott Crampton.
Yeah. I mean, but then that's the thing is like, it doesn't have to kill your whole team. It just has to get you to a point where you can now no longer handle what's happening.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's true. The two gun kids are shockingly a large amount of my offense.
Mm-hmm.
And that's I wish there was a better way, but Spider-Man, he's actually easier to kill on 45 points and I can't play him at 90. So if you don't outwit his super senses, which other than pulse wave, it's pretty hard to when he's next to Ghost Rider. He does have a 3 through 6 super senses. So that's
sure does.
All right, guys, that is it for our episode. Good luck at Adepticon. I said this 20 minutes ago, saying it again. Until next time, this is Scott, Lucas, and PJ reminding you that if you're not playing competitively,
you might as well be playing with yourself. Good night.
Good night.
Bye.
Critical Clicks. Critical Clicks. You've been listening to Critical Clicks.